Women have been gathering in circles for centuries, even in the most suppressive communities, to find physical and emotional shelter, lift each other, and share the powerful feminine energy. In this podcast, we are going to rediscover what happens when women come together, bringing in their authentic, creative, nurturing selves. In other words, this podcast is dedicated to the magical places, also known as women's circles. Hello, beautiful friends and strangers, and welcome to the second episode of Women's Circle Institute podcast. My name is Anna.
And my name is Marta.
And today we are going to continue what we started in our very first episode, meaning we are going to answer the second part, the last remaining 5 out of 10 most typical questions people are asking about women's circle. And I said people because men are also asking, so I'm not excluding. The curiosity is a very universal thing, so it's both for men, women, and for whomever is curious. Today we are jumping into the other 5 questions. I guess maybe it's a good idea, Marta, to remind or refresh memory to all the people who listened to the first episode and don't want to listen to it again, what questions we actually answered. What do you think?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, I will go for it. So first of all, in the first episode, we answered what is a woman's circle. And I believe we made a small accidental lecture about what it is. Then we answered the question of what kind of women's circles are out there. And here I think we were even more inventive. Then we also talked about online and in-person circles and benefits and maybe disadvantages of both. We also, in the 4th question, discussed the setup of a circle in terms of where it happens. So at home, rental, and in nature. And the last question was, do you need to be certified to lead a circle? And as Marta says, as this is not a regulated industry, you don't have to be certified. But I think we gave quite interesting input into that whole matter of certification or a training and so on. I think, Marta, you even had a revelation when you were answering that question, right?
Yeah, I had an insight that it is good to be well prepared, to have some background, but it can be different types of background. And it was quite a good insight, I would say.
Like even for yourself.
It was on my personal level, yeah.
Yeah, precisely. So if you want to know the answers to those 5 questions, I have some news for you. You have to go back to the first episode. But I think maybe I am even going to be tempted to put it in some sort of a form of a blog post or something. I don't know. What do you think, Marta? Should we do it? Should we not do it?
I think that's a benefit for sure. And mm-hmm. If you will have the energy for it, I'm sure that will be great. You're quite an amazing writer. So if you'll find the time and space for it, that will be beneficial for sure.
Well, I think I will do it, you know, because I'm thinking about myself and would that be something of a value to have just, you know, document paper, digital paper on hand with all of this, so maybe I will do it. But don't hold me on this, because you know life is busy. But Marta, I think that before we will jump to the other 5 questions, a couple of things I would like to say. First of all, I would like to thank everyone who have listened to the first episode. It wasn't maybe, oh, the bird is back. Marta, your bird is back. Wow, that's hello, bird, our quiet or not so quiet co-host.
Must be on your end. I don't have a bird.
What the hell is going on? Maybe it's my bird. Now I have
last
to
investigate. Last time I did have a bird. Yeah, last time I did have a bird in behind my window, but this time I don't hear anything.
Maybe it's the same bird. He just traveled all the way from your place to my place to take part in this podcast. Well, if it's a bird, then it's a bird. If it's something in my head, then I arrived. I arrived to the crazy land. Coming back to what I was saying, we didn't maybe had a listenership that would guarantee any sponsorship or something of this kind, but there were a couple of people who tuned in, so thank you very much for that. We have used our former platform, You've Got Five Options, and our RSS feed to publish that episode over there, so I know that our old listeners tuned in. Again, thank you for that, but that was the last time. Now, if you want to listen to this podcast, you actually have to find it under the new name, Women's Circle Institute. The optimal thing is to subscribe, so then you are getting an automatic notification each time the episode is out. So thank you for listening to us and for being there. Otherwise, it's just two women talking to each other, and we do that quite often. So it's nice that someone silently participates in our conversations. The second thing I would like to remind you is that it is very fine and also very, I would say, I lost the word, Marta. I wanted to say that we are open for questions. This means that if you have any specific or even general question about women's circles as such, or a question to something you heard on this podcast, you are more than welcome to ask us that question, and we will answer it while we are recording the next episode. So to send us a question, all you have to do is to enter our website, womenscircleinstitute.com, and go to our podcast page. You can find it in the menu, and there you will have a big bright button said get in touch with us. If you click on it, you will be redirected to your mail, and then you can write a question. Alternatively, you can just send an email to womenscircleinstitute@gmail.com with your question. That also works. Maybe it's even easier if you have a good memory for email addresses. Last but not least, before we dig into the remaining five questions, we are going to run an online circle in June, to be more precise, 10th of June, and that is an open circle for anyone who is interested in checking out how Women's Circle feels, to have kind of like a teaser, but also like an energy check if you resonate with us or with the idea. And as always, we also make space for questions after the circle. In order to sign up, all you have to do is to go on our website, womenscircleinstitute.com, to the section with events, and then you will learn how to sign up. All of those links are going to be in the show notes of this episode. So worst comes to worst, just go to the show notes, start clicking, you know, technology is beautiful these days. We can just click and get to the right place immediately. So I think this is all from housekeeping topics. And I believe we are ready to jump into the second part of the questions. And Marta, my dear Marta, do you remember what was the sixth question? I do. I'm just checking you.
No, I absolutely don't remember, Ada, and I don't even have it open. So I am fully dependent on your ability to do that.
Okay, so this is the only codependency that I'm going to be on board with, because we should not be that codependent. But okay, I will present the question number six, and I think it's very relevant question when you sit with the idea, okay, I am going to do it, but what the hell are we going to talk about there? So, do you need a theme, a topic, agenda for your circle? Yes or no, Marta?
That's a very good question. And I did get an email about it from one of people who will be joining our online circle. So it's this one of these synchronicities. I was about to answer that email. And here I am recording that podcast with you, Anna. I believe myself personally, I like to have a theme. And I like to have a very, maybe not even agenda, I like to have a frame. I like to have a framework, a frame for the women's circle. The reason to have a theme is twofold. On one hand, it is to be able to attract people. So people somehow need to resonate, and it's like a message that you send. So that theme is that message that will attract certain people. Certain people will know what the circle will be about. So I do believe it's a really, really good message and invitation. And it is also a good way to open conversation, right? Because if, especially for new people, especially when you have a circle where you are inviting new people, people don't know each other, it gives people some form of a safety net, some form of a security, some form of an opener, some level to which you know what to expect. So that from this point of view, I do believe that it's good to have a theme. And when it comes to agenda, I believe that it depends a lot on the facilitator and on the participants, how much of an agenda is needed. And for me personally, it's more of a frame to have an idea how the event will flow, and also to have some level of time management. And on the other hand, I find it very important to be actually open to diverting from it if that's where the energy goes. And the less experienced I was, the more detailed I had the agenda or the framework, the more experienced I am, and the more people have already participated in the circle, the less I have of an agenda. So, for example, the circles that I was preparing in the corporate world, at the beginning, they had a clear theme, they had an agenda, and with time, as people got to know each other, and it's the same participants in terms of the circles that I'm running, there is no more any agenda. I have a loose idea of what I will bring to the circle, and then I fully trust my intuition and trust the energy of the circle to take us through it. And I also really, really enjoy the process of exploring and seeing how it works when I have a detailed agenda, see how it works when I have a loose agenda, see how it works when I have no agenda whatsoever. And I invite all the facilitators to allow yourself to have that exploration, to allow yourself to see how it works. And I'm calling the first circles in the corporation that I'm working for, I'm calling them pilots. So every time I'm like, okay, as you know, this is a pilot. Give me your feedback. How did it go this time? What do you want more of? What do you want less of? So I keep on building those circles on the go with the women. I'm really, really deeply listening to the circle and keep on building on the individual participants' requests.
And that was a very, very good answer. Good because it had a lot of information. And I do have to agree with one statement, especially one statement that the least experienced you are, the more detailed your agenda probably looks like, because that was like the first circle I was running, although it was not in a company, it was the private one. I was just trying to plan everything, you know, to the last detail. The second circle was already a little bit more relaxed with the agenda. But coming back to the team, maybe it's a good idea to reveal how we are doing it, because I actually think that team might not be as necessary as the topic, But that is my impression. However, I personally like to kind of have an umbrella team that we are working with throughout, I don't know, half a year, in my case, it's a year. So my private circle that I set up has a team of astrology. It's not astrology as an astrology circle where we discuss, you know, details about planets and signs and stuff, but I rather took 12 zodiac signs as a female archetypes. And then whenever we have a circle that is happening in that specific zodiac sign, we are discussing the female archetype and all the challenges and great things that come with that archetype. So then I basically have already 12 topics on hand prepared for the next year. Of course, that requires some level of knowledge about astrology. And that's the team. So we are going through the 12 faces of a goddess, and those are the 12 female archetypes based on the zodiac signs. Now, the topic is, of course, the zodiac sign per each circle. So the last circle was a Taurus female energy or a goddess energy. And then I made a very brief presentation about what Taurus represents, what is the energy of that zodiac sign, what are the goddesses associated with it. And from there, we take those topics, and in that case, it was working with grounding, with being more connected to the material world, also the nature, appreciation of our 3D reality. And a huge cornerstone of that circle was the body, because Taurus represents the body and your relationship to your body. And we had discussions, rituals, meditations connected to those topics. So that was the topic. And then going to the agenda, I did inform participants what they can more or less expect, that we will open the circle. Then we will have a brief talk about Taurus energy. Then we will go through a meditation. Then we will have a written exercise or a ritual or something like that. So I do put those things. I think it's important, especially at the beginning when you don't know the women that are coming to your circle, to be clear what they can expect, because there can be someone who, for example, is not feeling comfortable with yoga, which is one of the elements of the circle that Marta is having in Aarhus. Or there might be someone who will be very surprised and very unsure if they come in and they learn that there is something like a guided meditation. They never done it, and maybe they don't want to be surprised by this. So also agenda, and we will explore the things, the elements you can put in a circle in the next questions. But I think that also helps women to understand if this is something I am willing to participate in. So that's the example of the theme, the topic and agenda that I do in the private circle. I think in the corporate circle, just by definition, we always have an agenda for a meeting. So that was a very good remark that you made there. And Marta, what is the theme for the circles in Aarhus this year?
So we started without a theme as such. We were feeling into a specific circle what we will be doing into it. We thought about that message, because how can a woman know if that circle is for her? And we indeed had that message around it will be a circle of support. And that there will be elements of yoga, there will be elements of inner journey, and there will be elements of sharing. And we were intuitively feeling into what was the month about for us. So we started in this way. And in time, we could clearly see that we are very close to the natural circle of what is happening in our hemisphere. And we thought that since it's happening this way, we will have a very close connection to the Wheel of the Year, which is describing 8 celebrations that are very much in sync with what nature is coming through. And we have taken it as a general theme for our circle, and then we can additionally, it can either be then an individual circle, can be a celebration of that specific event. For example, spring equinox would be then the celebration of the spring equinox, and all the activities would be related to spring equinox. Or we can have an extra topic. So, for example, we have a circle in nature coming up actually tomorrow. And it's not related to any of the celebrations in the Wheel of the Year. We just wanted to get together in nature, offered an extra circle. And then the topic that we are bringing is burnout and self-care, because that is the topic that is close to our hearts. So we have an overall theme, but that's just a guidance for us. And then we are just close to nature and we're feeling into what feels good. And for the circle in the company that I work for, we are working, the theme is empowerment. So this is empowerment, and it's about overcoming your limitations so that you can, each woman sets up an objective for themselves that they want to work through the circle. And then there are specific coaching tools and neurolinguistic programming tools that I'm bringing to the circle to overcome the limitations on achieving that state or overcoming what's blocking us. Okay, now I really, that was a very, very unclear message. So I'm bringing some tools to help women, and we are also using the circle as a support. So women are supporting each other on that, and we can bring a case of a specific woman. She describes that case, and then everyone in the circle responds with either a piece of advice or any other, or sharing their own experience, how they coped with the situation. And that friend that wrote me with the question, she asked also, how do you select a theme or a topic? And what I wanted to respond to her was that I would choose either something that already is very, very close to your heart, something that you are passionate about, something that you love, or I would select something that you want to learn about. So another beautiful way of feeling into a new area is to create a circle around it and bring that topic every time for the circle. So you could, if you have a new area you want to step into. So for example, if I wanted now to learn more about astrology and, for example, about the 12 goddesses, I could every time read about it, prepare myself, and then bring it to the circle as my way of learning. So bringing, feeling into that area that I want to learn about. So that's what I would build it around. Either something I already love and really, really want to be sharing that with other women, or something I want to learn about as a way of learning and exploring.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. Both approaches are great. I chose astrology because I'm very passionate about this, and I also have my own personal agenda with that topic, because I want to embrace all of the 12 faces of a goddess, and I do have a problem with that. I realize that I'm shaming some of the behaviors or features of personality or character that are associated with some of the zodiac signs. So it's also a journey for me. But I think you mentioned something very, very important, that as a facilitator, you also just should follow your heart and your passion and your interest. So I do have a team, or whose circle has a team circle in a company has a team, so astrology or wheel of the year or empowerment, but you don't necessarily need to have a team. You can just choose things that are close to your heart. And I remember a couple of teams that we went through on the Women's Circle in Aarhus. One was mothering yourself, so giving yourself and learning about giving yourself the self-care. A lot of self in one sentence, by the way. Then there was, I remember there was a topic about planting seeds. So slowly transitioning from winter into spring. And it was a lot about hope and trying to feel into the new energy that is going to come in. You can make circles about healing. You can make circles about confidence, you can make circles about rebirth and transformation and change. You can make circles about very like feminine sexual topics. It's all depending on you and what you will feel comfortable with and what you will have a passion for. And then as the circle moves on, just like it happens in your circle, Marta, in the companies, circle is a place for co-creation, so other women can start to propose topics, co-facilitators, so it doesn't have to be always on you. So I think we were quite we drained that topic. I think it's well answered. So now we can jump into question number 7. Which actually I didn't have that much problem with when I was creating my circle, but I've heard it's actually one of the most common questions from women who want to create a women's circle. Who do you invite to the circle? How to get that first list of participants? How to approach it? I personally had interest already before the circle existed. So I had a couple of women who were interested because there was a small party at my place, also known as my birthday celebration. And Marta was talking with me about the circle. Some of my neighbors heard about it. Then I started to talk with them about possibility of having a circle here. So I already had the, you know, the usual suspects. But if you just have an idea, you might actually sit in front of the piece of paper or Word document or whatever you are using for noting down the names. And it can be a challenge. So I would like to hear, Marta, what would be your advice here or approach? Who to invite to your circle?
So the very first circle that I have created, I have intuitively chosen the people I want to invite to it. It was very, very much my own selection of people. And that first circle was a specific stable circle. So it was not that a number of people were invited and some of them coming and not coming. This was 8 people, and that 8 people were coming, and then we were switching around who was facilitating and so on. So I started with intuitively selecting people that I would like to be in that circle, contacting them and seeing who of them would like to be. And each person that I have selected in my mind really wanted to join. So it was a very beautiful, intuitive process. When we started the circle in Aarhus, it was a few of us women getting together, and each one of us has again intuitively invited from our net people, women from our network. So that's one approach. You simply invite the women you intuitively feel might be interested in joining the circle. And then in time, these women, when they come, they see what it is, they can invite other women. And there is, of course, also a possibility to invite people through social media. I have seen a woman here in our city in Aarhus. She just posts about it on Instagram. And you can invite your people through that kind of a message. You then perhaps need to be a little bit more specific in your messaging so that you can attract the people. So if you are, for example, new in town and you don't have a network among which you can find the right people, I would go for social media and inviting people through social media. In terms of a corporation, in terms of an organization, I did it through the DEIB, Diversity, Equanimity, Inclusion, Belonging Network. That was my way. We have this amazing group of women called Women of Wind. I joined them and then I proposed that idea and they loved that idea. And that was the way in which I got it into the organization. So I would say, depending on if you do have simply women among your friends in your network that you could invite, that's a good start. You can pair up with someone else and do it together with someone else. You can invite those friends. You can use social media. You can use a network, an organization, a network, a social network. So that would be my main, pieces of advice.
I think it's a very, very good advice, as always, Marta, if I may say. I was actually, before you started to answer you gave an advice to the scenario, what if you are new in town? I was thinking exactly about that. What if someone is completely new in town? And I think it is a good idea to actually try just to make a post on social media. I think it's also a great idea to try to check if maybe there is already an existing woman circle. And probably, again, social media like Facebook or Instagram could be very helpful here, because not necessarily every woman's circle has a website or something. But I think it could be at the beginning a great start just to join a circle instead of trying to organize it when you are new somewhere and you maybe don't have your network. I think all good advices, yeah. And I do have to confirm full-heartedly that this actually happens. Once you have a small group of women that you have selected and they enjoy the circle, they will start to spread the message of the circle and maybe talk to their friends or women in their network, and then suddenly your mailing list is a little bit bigger and bigger every single month, and that is happening to me slowly. Maybe one thing, I would not necessarily invite my mortal enemy to the circle unless I want to do a different type of circle, but also women who you might know or like but you feel like they wouldn't be interested, it could be an interesting risk to invite them, because you might be surprised. I have one woman in a circle that I never really considered her being a person that is, she herself said, you know, I'm not very like spiritual. I am not really into any meditations or stuff, not in astrology. And yet she said, but I'm curious, I want to join. So I would normally, if I would try to find exactly the same profile of people and invite them, I would skip her. But it turns out she actually wanted to learn more. So that's an interesting thing. You can consider that there are some women who might be there, who might not fit your profile, but they actually still would like to join and benefit. Okay, so I think this is going to be quite swift bridge into the question number 8. What is the magic number of participants in the circle? Do we recommend any upper limits or any minimum number of participants, and why? Back to you, Marta.
So here will be a very, very, very personal information from my side. So since I was a child, I had a favorite number, and that number is 8. And I it became even a running joke. So in the first circle that I created, we had 8 people. And then if someone would leave, we would invite a new person to that circle. And it became like a running joke that I was keeping that number of 8 because that is my favorite number. And then Anna told me she has a book, The Power of 8, which is, it's really, really cool because it really comes all the way from my childhood, completely intuitively running circles of 8 women, feeling that the energy is perfect when there are 8 women, that I like it, enjoy it the most. So it came out of complete, like, I just love the number. Then I have been in circles of very different sizes, including a circle of 30, close to 30 women. And there is great stuff about very small circles when there are, for example, 4 women, 8 women, 16 women, whatever the number is. There is much less space per participant in bigger circles. So that would be what I would take under consideration, depending on what sort of activities you are not going to be able to bring the same activities to a circle of 4 as to a circle of 24. So that is very much so, depending on what do you want in the circle, that is dependent, the number of participants and the activities that you want to do. I would also say your experience. So can you start with a circle of 30? Will you know how to facilitate 30 women at the same time? Make sure that the energy that you can, I would say that it is like 100% dependent on your energetical capacity, because as a facilitator, you're holding energy for people. So it has to be that kind of intuitive process of how many people can you hold the energy for, how experienced you are to be able to facilitate bigger groups of women. And it's different types of activities and tools. The other very obvious factor to take under consideration is your space. So for how many people your space will be comfortable. So for example, we had a pretty good space. We could easily host 15 women in the space. And we were choosing to have yoga. So if you roll out your yoga mats, how many people will be comfortable? And we found out that it is around 10 people can be comfortable. So that's how we calibrate. We think on space, we think on activities, and we feel into how many people we want to have there. If you have, let's say, 20 plus women and you want to give space for every woman to share, you can only give them very little time for sharing. If you have 4 women, you can give a lot of space for the individual sharing. So there is no definite number of women that I would recommend for the women's circle. I would again invite you to explore. I would invite you to really, really feel into your intuition. What does your intuition tell you? And what do you feel currently comfortable with? What is your level of comfort? What is your level of confidence? What is your level of experience? And what is your space?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Again, I guess this becomes a bit boring because there is nothing I can challenge you on today, my dear Marta. But, well, that means that we are very much aligned on these answers. I think that it is definitely dependent on your ability to facilitate that circle, hold that energy, and your space. I can just add from my side that for some mysterious intuitive reason, I have set up the limits for my circles, the private circles. So my lower limit is 3. And there are some reasons for that. The first one is, well, if you are the only one as a facilitator on your circle, then you basically have a self-care 3 hours where you can do something. And 2 people, it's kind of more like a more intimate conversation you would have with someone. But 3, that's already a number when I feel that it can create a circle, although, of course, someone will argue in the comments that's a triangle, but let's not get into geometry now. It's a circle for me, at least energetically. But what I wanted to say, I also, for some strange reason, and I'm not really religious, I had this quote in my head from probably one of the New Testament books when Jesus said, if 2 or 3 meet in my name, I'm there. And I was like, okay, Jesus, sorry that I'm like completely neglecting the 2, but 3 seems to be the good number. So that would be my low limit to start a circle. If I won't get 3 participants for the circle, then I would postpone it or cancel for that month. Now, the top limit, I set up the number of 12, not only because there is a 12 zodiac signs and 12 X in a package. 12 has a kind of a number. It has something to me. It's considered some sort of a spiritual number. Although I'm also drawn to 11, especially when I look at my space. I never had that amount. Actually, the top I had was 8, and I found that number perfect. Honestly, it was perfect for me. I think I would be overwhelmed with 12, at least at the beginning. It would be difficult, just as you said, to give everyone the same space to share and to feel comfortable. So I will see in the future how this will look like, but 8 was so far the top, and it was super comfortable number of women to work with and to hold energy for. So I, although I have my hypothetical limit of 12, I probably have a preference for 8 for some strange reason. And that book you referred to, The Power of 8, Harnessing the Miraculous Energies of Small Group to Heal Others, Your Life and the World, by one and only Lynn McTaggart. That book actually also talks about the power of groups who are setting common intention. And she even says in a book, I don't know why I chose 8, because it works with 5 and it works with 11, but for some reason I chose 8. So there is something very potent in number 8. And I will just give you an answer to the question we don't have on a list. What if I have more women on my list? From our experience with Marta, you might send an invitation to 15 women, to 20 women, and naturally it's almost impossible that all of them will want to join. Everyone has their life and obligations, so usually the right number comes to the circle, and then the circle consists of different women every time. Some of them are repeating, some of not. But I think, Marta, at one point you also had to set up a limit because you had too many. Is that correct?
So I wanted to explore that topic a little bit further. We were setting up the upper limit because of the space. So as I was mm-hmm. mentioning, we did have the 12 as our top limit as well, simply because of the space. So yes, we had to say no to some women when they have signed up. And I just wanted to bring it. This is the preference that we have now, where we are saying that this circle is very much free, your free choice. You can come one time. You absolutely have no obligation to come next time. And you just come whenever you want. That's one way of running women's circles. However, there is also a magic to women's circles where you have the same women coming every time. So I wanted to explore that topic because that's the way I have set up the circle before, the private circle before, as well as that's the way I set up the circle in the company as a pilot right now, where I had a limit of 8 because that's my favorite number. And I wanted to take the women on the journey. So that was a journey. It's a 6 month pilot. So it was monthly meetings for 6 months for that empowerment journey. So I had the journey in place, as well as I wanted to create a safe space for women so that they would not have to meet someone new every time. I wanted to experiment with going deeper and deeper with the same women, because they get to know each other and you can go easier. You can go deeper easier than when there are new women every time. So that is also a possibility. And from my perspective, my learning is that especially in a big setup like a company where you might have thousands of people, it's a good idea to set up a limit. It's a good idea to offer that for women who are committed to coming every time. And I would say that next time I will invite more than eight, because there is always someone that cannot join or someone that thinks they were committed, but life circumstances happen or they quit their job or whatever. And suddenly the number decreases a lot. So next time I will offer 10 spots. And my experience tells me that eight will be coming. So that will be my my personal preference. I could easily run circles for bigger amount of women. I definitely might have it as an event, as a specific, you know, like a one-time circle or open circle where different women can join for different. It could be a specific topic or a specific theme. And for there, and I find it also amazing and very, 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 very deep if you have the same people coming every time. It's a simple, it's a very different quality to that kind of a circle. And at the same time, the ones where you're free, you come one time, don't come the next time, and different people come every time, I love them too. That's the way we do it privately.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when you set up a circle with eight, let's say, as an example, because I don't think we mentioned that number yet, with eight, let's say, women, and those are the same, so it's almost like a membership, right? I think you can really dig deeper. Absolutely. But then also, I think, as you mentioned, you know, some women cannot join sometimes or they changed up. So actually, I like my circle to be kind of, I would call it semi-open, because on one hand, the private circle I run is open to have more women on the mailing list, like in the invite. But then I would not necessarily open it to anyone who wants to come. And I would set up those limits. So it's kind of a semi-open, and it works for me right now. But as you also mentioned, you know, things change. We change. Maybe in a year I will be leading a circle for 20 women. But the time will tell. But thanks a lot, Marta, for giving an insight, because I think it was super valuable. It just came out that there could be those, you know, closed membership type of circles, semi-open circles, very open circles, which is another category that we are just introducing. We are making this an industry right now, I think. There are some rules we are setting. Okay, question number 9, and I think there is going to be quite a distinction here between the private circles and the circles in companies. What elements or activities or type of, you know, things you can do or you can use in a circle? And I have only the private circle experience, so I will just share mine very briefly, hopefully. So for example, in our circle, and that is also thanks to the fact that Marta was co-facilitating with me, we have so far always a guided meditation. We also have, we use oracle cards, which I spread, you will never guess it, in a circle in front of all the women. So they create like a smaller circle, and then women sit around the deck that is spread in the form of a circle. And that's an invitation to pick up a card throughout the entire circle's duration, but it's not a must. No one has to do it, so they are just there. Marta also introduced and helped with the breath work, breath exercises, so breathing to kind of ground yourself in the energy. My circle at the beginning, the first circle, was quite dominated with me explaining things. I think it was a very mental circle, and by mental I mean like I was talking about some things, not like a mental person, just to make it sure that everyone understands. So there was a part where I was talking about the topics of the zodiac sign. And then we also had ritual, and we had the ritual on the first circle that was, in my opinion, very profound and gave me a lot. And I think in the next episode, we can dig into the different types of a ritual. And we also had, I wouldn't call it reflection moments. So one reflection is a self-reflection when you can write down some things using a pen and paper based on what was talked about in a circle. And another type of reflection is more like sharing. And there is a type of when you share within a circle. And I think it's actually very good for smaller circles when every woman has a chance to share something from herself. But you can also have a sharing in pairs. I think Marta Orhus' circle is quite good at that. So those were the main elements. Just to sum up, guided meditation, a ritual, self-reflection journaling, sharing within a circle, tarot cards, and also some sort of like a small talk introduction to the topic. In the future, I would love to implement some sort of a sound or a music thing. I haven't done it yet. And there are a couple of other ideas, but that's pretty much what is happening in the private circle that I run in Randboldale. Marta, what is your weapon of choice, your elements of choice in the circles?
So I struggle a little bit with this question, because I think that not only for most of these questions, we could make a separate episode on the question. I think on this one, we could have a whole season. So I will keep it very, very brief without going into the details. I will keep it as the main elements of the circle. So for me, the first element would be setting up the energy. So for me, that is creating the space, creating the circle itself and setting up the energy. The second element would be individual journey. So creating a space for that self-reflection, for inner journey. Another element would be common space, where there is the space for sharing and some activities that are including everyone. Another element could be physical movement. So you can create either dancing or yoga or whatever that part for you could be. Another one is the whole sphere of I call it journeys. It could be a sound journey. It could be a guided meditation. It could be a healing journey. So any form of a journey, and then closing the space in a circle. So I would have these key elements of a circle for today, so that we don't spend the whole, so that we don't spend the whole, you know, we just have to make an episode about it very, very soon, so that we can explore the topic deeper.
Yeah, and we are definitely going to do that, but that was also just to give an idea for a person who might not even understand what actually are you doing on the circle. So I hope you have a teaser for one of the future episodes, and I hope that you have some sort of a clarity of what can be happening. And I really like that you underlined the personal space and also the common space. That was awesome. Thank you for that. So now we are arriving to the last question, which could probably be one or two episodes. So maybe we will also try to do it briefly, because I have an idea for a whole episode discussing that specific question. But the question is, what are the three most important, and not necessarily in a very like a generic terms, but maybe for you at this point of your life, principles of a women's circle in your humble opinion?
Yeah, for me that's quite simple. When it comes to right now, what is the most important? So the first and the most important one is the trust. And that is what happens in the circle, stays in the circle. So that is absolutely the number one. It is the trust. The second principle is around respect. So it's a little bit connected. I would say two and three are very much connected. So it's extremely important for me to create a space when you can bring your whole self, so that you can be yourself and you can invite your emotions and you can be yourself, both in a way it's okay to cry, as well as it's okay to say no to a given activity if it does not resonate with you. And at the same time, it comes with the respect towards yourself, your own boundaries, and to others. So that's why they are so deeply connected, because of course, if you get triggered in a circle, which might happen, you might get triggered and a difficult emotion, something like anger, comes out. It's okay for you to feel angry. It's okay for you to express the anger in terms of, you know, I'm feeling really triggered right now, or I'm feeling really frustrated. And it's not okay to bring it onto another person. So that's why they come so closely linked to each other. So that self-respect and respect to others, I would say that would be the top three for me right now.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I think I will be having almost exactly the same opinion, but it's not like the other principles are not important, because we actually have came up with principles for our circles, which you can learn more about on our website, womenscircleinstitute.com. And that was not a shameless plug, it was an information. So we have a couple of them. That's why I think having an episode, because I also think every facilitator should follow their intuition and heart and come up with their principles, and those principles will actually set up the circle energetically in the right way and will also attract the right people. But for me, the trust is the number one thing. When I come to the circle or when I facilitate a circle, it is Las Vegas, people. What happens there stays there. It's not that we are going and talking about it, especially if there are women who know each other and then they know other women. That's unacceptable. This is a safe space for sharing. It's a space for being your authentic self, which can be at the beginning scary and intimidating for yourself and also even for others. So the trust is a must. And I think that's the foundation of every circle I could imagine. I probably wouldn't join a circle that wouldn't have it in the principles. And then there is also this respect and uniqueness. I called it in my own head, your pace is sacred, for the part of the principle that talks about your active or passive participation in a circle. I already mentioned that in the first episode that I am not a person that deals very well with synchronized group activities. If you invite me for some one day, you know, team building with a super specific agenda, and I start to look at those things and I'm like, my God, I cannot get out of it. Like, one of the worst things is if you tell me to clap dance or sync in group of people that I don't know. That scares me. And that was one of the main reasons why I didn't want to actually join the circle in Aarhus. But then I decided to, because I trusted Marta. And yeah, that actually, that rule, that principle that you should not feel forced to do what the facilitator invites you to, not even tells you to, it is an invitation. It's an open invitation. If you don't feel like sharing, then you take a rain check and you say, I don't have anything to say. And that's fine. And there is no weird looks or judgment or extra but are you sure? Maybe you should. No, you just respect the space of that person and pace of that person, and I absolutely love it. If you want to sit through the yoga session, you can also do that. You don't need to participate in that. So everything is optional. And I think that once you open these gates to being yourself and doing in your own pace, people will naturally have a more willingness to actually start to participate in things that maybe 2 months before they would say, okay, I will never do that. So I love that about the circles that we are running. And the third thing I decided to choose for this time of my life as a junior facilitator is actually the rule of co-creation. And that's the co-creation with my own circle. It's a co-creation of the shape and topics and the energy of the circle. I don't have a co-facilitator that is there to that I can share the energetical work with. So at the beginning, of course, there was a bias of me talking, presenting, explaining. And then I remember I met with one of the participants, with one of the women, and she was like, you know, don't take this the wrong way. The circle was awesome, but I was talking with another woman that was also in a circle that maybe we could propose that there is a little bit more space for sharing. And I was like, thank God someone said something, you know, someone actually came up with an idea and feedback, because this is not like my show. It's not like I'm coming to do the TEDx talk or I'm supposed to do an event and manage everything and every single detail. I love that women actually, you know, vocalized it, that, you know, we would like to have more space for sharing, for actually talking about our thoughts or emotions and feelings. So the co-creation one, especially that I don't have a sparring partner that is going to be a regular. So far, I'm using Marta for that. But it's not always going to be like this. That is a very important principle for me right now, that this is not a one-man show and the rest comes. It's basically a common shared space, common shared effort, and a place where everyone is equal, and the facilitator has this servitude. It's a service of holding the energy and holding the space. So that's my top three. And I guess people are dying to know what are the other principles. Well, you will actually have to wait for the episode when the principles will come out. And I think it's going to be a fun episode when we will describe that. But Marta, we have arrived to the end of the 10 most commonly asked questions about women's circles.
Yeah, and I hope that these two episodes give you a very good insight into what we will be going deeper into in the episodes to come. So we will be exploring those topics much deeper, giving much more examples, as well as, yeah, we'll be sharing with you what's going on in our circles, how we are developing, how we are growing, what new insights and ideas are coming out of them.
Yeah, I absolutely loved this. It was a great exercise also for me as the junior facilitator. I hope it was also a nice time for you, Marta, to reflect on a lot of the wisdom you already gathered. And I really hope that those of you who listened to those two episodes are having now way more clarity about what Women's Circle is and how can you run them. Please remember that it's not only allowed, but heavily encouraged that if you have any question, you will contact us at womenscircleinstitute@gmail.com, or you will follow the instructions on our podcast page on our website and just shoot your questions. If you want to know something more, we will be more than happy to answer. And I guess this is a time to wrap the second episode of Women's Circle Institute podcast. Marta, thank you so much for being here with me and co-hosting.
Thank you, Anna. It's all, like always, it has been a pleasure.
Awesome to hear. I hope it was also a pleasure for you to listen to us, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.